You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Was the 199th pick in the draft.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. Come to you from a virtual room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. Yes, the first round of the 2021 NFL draft is in the books and storylines galore, boys, in a draft that included five quarterbacks entering the league, three in the first three picks, and then this simmering drama just to stage left surrounding Aaron Rodgers, which came out of nowhere, or did it? So that is kind of setting the table here for you boys. How's everybody feeling? We're taping after 9 o'clock on the Pacific time zone here, but it's late, but I feel good. I had a Red Bull and I'm feeling good.
Ooh. I was like, should I have some, you know, some green tea or something before going? But no, just like the energy from the Jason Oway pick at 31 just has me flying and ready to do this podcast.
Watch out for that herbal green tea, Greg. You know, you've become more daring in your advancing age. I don't know too many men that could hang with a green tea at 9 p.m. West Coast time. I thought it was actually what I loved about the first round is it wasn't completely sort of paint by numbers. There were twists and turns, and I'm maybe not as excited about the Aaron Rodgers manufactured drama as others, but we can get into
It is crazy, though. It's draft day, and like before we even got to the draft, by far the biggest news story of the off season hit. It's, you know, to me, it's much bigger than anything that happened during the draft. I thought, you know, maybe it's going to affect the draft. It started to remind me of 2005. Like the whole draft day was like centered around Aaron Rodgers and his desire to go to San Francisco. On that day, you know, the 49ers didn't take him. He sits around and here he is again. This time the 49ers did want him. I mean, crazy stuff was happening in terms of the 49ers. Owner tweeting and some of the sources where Rodgers just like sprays all these sources all over the media that like overwhelmed everything to me that happened on draft night. But then once it started, you kind of realized Rodgers was not going to get his wish tonight. When the Broncos took a cornerback, that was kind of the moment I was just like, I guess this is not going to happen for
him. It's both manufactured, as Mark puts it, and also very real. The manufactured part to me is the timing of it for people who are maybe using this podcast to get caught up and know exactly what's going on. The situation that occurs this morning or late or early this afternoon on the West Coast anyway is reports start popping up about the 49ers checking in on the availability of Aaron Rodgers, and he's not going anywhere. And then the insiders start popping up with information. And Ian comes on NFL Network and explains that this kind of started. This has been simmering since Jordan Love's pick last April. Not a surprise there. that it was still simmering. And then when the Packers came to him after his MVP season and wanted to rework his contract to move some money around and create cap space, that triggered a real breakdown in the relationship, according to Rapsheet. Here's what he's got.
Rodgers, I'm told, did not want that. He wanted a real contract extension. He wanted the team to commit to him long term, which they, as at that point, had not yet been willing to do. His agent, Dave Dunn, flew to Green Bay, had endless meetings with Rodgers. His frustration was palpable. Several teams started calling the Green Bay Packers, kind of getting a sense that things weren't right, trying to maybe trade for him just see if there was interest. The Packers have remained steadfast. They have no plans to trade Aaron Rodgers. That is only going to ramp up as this continues. So we will see where this ends, but things are not in a good place.
And then, of course, with the 29th overall pick, the Packers select Eric Stokes, a cornerback with a lot of upside from Georgia, feeding into this narrative that the Packers are almost trolling Rodgers by not adding more offense. But at the same time, and Greg, I think you tweeted about it, it's like, it's not like the Packers are starving for help on offense right now. They were the best offense in the league last season.
This is a long-running frustration for me. They have two potential Hall of Fame candidates in Devontae Adams and David Bakhtiari on the team with them. And you're telling me that they don't have talent around them. They're the number one scoring offense. They're Aaron Jones. The part that I think registers with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he cares that much if they took a receiver 29th or not. It's that he took Jordan Love and that he took that as a personal slight. And he clearly hasn't let go of that. The crazy part to me is, you know, what Ian said was, you know, kind of measured. And eventually he did say that the Packers, you know, tried to give him a contract extension. And you got to think at some point, isn't there going to be a number that is enough to make this go away? We'll find out. But there were other reports. I mean, ESPN said he told people he does not want to play for the team anymore, period. Trey Wingo said that the Packers told him that they would look to trade him and that he feels like that they aren't really following through with that. And meanwhile, like, Aaron Rodgers' agent and the brass of the Packers are meeting all this while. So it's wild. But here's the reality. Rodgers has no leverage right now, I don't believe. I mean, he can withhold his services, but the odds on him being on another team for the 21 season seems slim to none to me, because what could the Broncos possibly give him that would be attractive? Next year's picks? If you want to give me next year's picks, just wait till next year. Let's see if you sit out the year. I'll take your picks in January. He'll be popular then too.
I mean, there was one part of this that was mismanaged, if it was manufactured, was the timing. I mean, to me, I found it absurd that the Broncos, who had, you know, gone in with their full draft plans, are finding out or learning about this Rodgers situation, you know, this close to the draft. I mean, there's no lead up time for front offices who have essentially sealed up what they're going to do for the most part to act. And like, I, you know, at this point, you know, are the Packers excited to absorb like $38 million in dead cap money to move an unhappy Rodgers? I mean, here's the thing. It becomes cliche to say they don't draft a wide receiver. And I'm with you that, look, he threw 48 touchdowns last year. I mean, their offense is not broken. There's no drastic, glaring void. But they've drafted one skill position player on offense since 2005 in the first round, and it's Jordan Love. And Greg, I see you smiling, but it's like that is a lack of support to some degree. I would also say that they've not done a great job, if you're spending all those picks on defense, of building up a monster defense either. So they have just not been that successful.
But where's the team that's closer to the Super Bowl? That's the thing, is like, it's not like you can get closer to the Super Bowl than they were.
Well, I don't see a destination spot. That's sort of why this thing to me feels like, you know, it's perfect for to set the table with a high-strung drama. But to me, it's like, what's the end result? Because it's, you know, to the day from a year ago where we were spending all night talking about Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers' feelings, and a year later, we're doing the same thing again. Tiresome.
He's not we're going to get a special Sessler tonight. I can feel it.
No, does everyone else find him enjoyable? I find it just like, why do you need to dominate the news cycle today in something that you clearly created through your mouthpieces?
They were trying to pressure them publicly because privately wasn't working. So I tend to believe the Broncos and these other teams had some, you know, certainly knew about this and were talking before this. The thing that I don't understand is guys in Denver who were saying that this deal was close, like Mark Schlereth reported, you know,
Schlereth.
So Schlereth, who's a former Bronco and is on the radio, used to be on ESPN, reported that it was all but a done deal right before the draft. and that got Broncos Nation
Ouchers.
Really excited. And who knows? Maybe someday
you
will be a Denver
everybody.
Bronco.
Consider your sources. Yes. Well, Rodgers is that. Listen, there's a handful of players in every generation that invoke this level of interest. And the fact that he was the centerpiece of this drama last year, then won MVP. Okay.
Yep.
And now this comes up again. That has added more zest to this. So while I understand where you're coming from, Mark, it's a big story. I mean,
I'm not trying to push it out of the way.
It's a big story.
I'm not trying to push it out of the way. Here's the thing about the draft. I mean, the film Gandhi, which is too slow for people, is 3 hours and like 11 minutes long. The draft, we're back to like 4 hours and 9 minutes. And
we got to get you right. You know, if we get you righty on draft night, then it goes by really fast. You're racing the clock. So that's
the other alternative. Dan's, draft in 40 makes a lot of sense because it is a slow, drawn out thing. And now I'm not trying to rain on the parade. It's a fun night, but
it's been a long day for Sessler watching TV. You're a little burnt out, so you're angry right now. That's where this is.
He was on Clubhouse earlier.
I'm not angry. I don't think that how many people would argue that it is fascinating television. This is a story for another time.
Mark. I mean, we're a lot of them are listening now. I know the draft is
all right. Well, I am an incorrect voice from the distance, perhaps. Everyone to agree with me, but
before we move on from Rodgers, though, there were just a couple of details I think were important.
Rosenthal loves this, by the way. As much as Mark hates this, Greg loves this.
Well, no, because you got a bunch of people in suits from the third floor saying, Greg really gets the draft. He's compliant. Who's this other cranky clown chiming
Please.
In every third second?
I genuinely love this Rodgers stuff. The draft is separate because it's fascinating. Because first of all, it's the Favre thing all over again. I mean, it's really kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But the personal animosity and Dan hit on this last year. I do think it's funny because the Jordan Love pick. You hate to. It's not like Aaron Rodgers tried harder. But you got to give that something, some of the credit of like why he won the MVP if you really want to get crazy. But it really seems like there's major antipathy between Rodgers and Gutekunst specifically. And the most interesting part of all this today was Glazer saying to me that Matt, what is this there?
Oh, this is Goody's theme song, baby.
Oh, yeah. I forgot this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
This part I like.
I don't remember it being like such a flow. Yeah, I know. This is the long version. Matt LaFleur, according to Jay Glazer, did not know that they were taking Jordan Love before they took it. And that whole story is fascinating to me. Number one, LaFleur is putting that out there through Glazer. That's it. That's interesting. It gets to a schism. It gets to LaFleur almost trying to say, hey, I'm on Aaron Rodgers' side. And if you hear what Ian said, it really feels like Rodgers does not like Gutekunst. And I thought, this is where you need an owner. They don't have an owner. Like, if I was an owner, I'd be talking to Brian Gutekunst right about now.
And by the
way, Gutekunst, shareholder meetings. How well do those go?
Things haven't gone too well in the championship game in the NFC the last 2 years. But with Gutekunst pulling the lever on moves, they've gone 13-3 in back-to-back years. And they're doing a lot of things right in that building. So, yes, in terms of, how much you want to feel for Aaron Rodgers' position, I can't really get that. I'm not with you on that if there are people that feel like he's been wronged in this situation. But at the same time, you get it. It's like you drafted my replacement. I win MVP. And when you want to come to the table to do business with me, it's to help you out and make cap space room. Instead of saying, you know what? We blew it. We should have never doubted you. Here's a contract extension to keep you here forever. We have plenty of time to talk about.
And we will. And since then they have offered an extension. You would think there's got to be just like a price that is enough. But if not, he could just dig in. It was funny. Ian's throwing out the Jeopardy stuff. If nothing else, it knocked Tim Tebow out of the headlines. Tim Tebow contract extension.
Maybe that's what got me going early in the day, that is back in our hemisphere. Tim Tebow subplots, which is, I've got some PTSD associated with that. So does Dan.
All right, so the San Francisco 49ers kicking all that off. The report was that they connected with the Packers. Hey, is Rodgers on the block? He was not, at least not right now. So the Niners with a third overall pick, this is the first flashpoint of the draft. Trevor Lawrence goes number one. Zach Wilson goes number two. And by the way, I have ordered my Zach Wilson Chipotle burrito. It's being delivered as we speak. And it will be brought right to me when the time comes. I'm very excited to have that burrito in my hands. Just like I'm excited that the Jets have yet another crack at a franchise quarterback. Hopefully, the young man out of BYU. The third pick, Trey Lance, goes to the 49ers. So the Mac Jones, and someone explain this to me, hashtag like I'm five. A lot of Twitter was about, hey, that is one of the better smoke screens I've seen in some time. But I don't understand that, because I know Mac Jones was where everyone was saying that it was going to happen, and then it was Mac Jones or Trey Lance. But what was the smokescreen for if there was no one to outsmart in front of them? The Jets are always going to take Zach Wilson. The Jags are always going to take Trevor Lawrence. So is the smokescreen simply on the media? And if so, what's the point?
I think it's utter not. I think we brought this up at least on the show once before. That, like, look, they did everything they did to get to number three to remove any sense of, you know, disquiet or unknown for who they'd want to pick. They know those two quarterbacks are off the board. Who are they fooling? To me, it just felt kind of baked into, hey, this is a big production and we're not going to shed secrets. It's smokescreen, the viewer and the analyst. The idea that you need to hide anything from another team makes no sense logically.
Yeah, I think it wasn't a smokescreen. I think the reporting around them genuinely turned out to be wrong. Very possibly because the 49ers changed their mind. I mean, that's what our reporting at NFL Network indicates, that essentially they didn't know who they were going to take. They thought they were going to take Mac Jones, that was Kyle Shanahan's guy. And if you read between the lines, not even between the lines, Ian basically said that the front office was pushing for Trey Lance. And as Kyle Shanahan went to these workouts, and I think most importantly, talked to Trey Lance more and more, that he ended up becoming convinced that was the decision. Because the one thing you keep hearing about Lance, not only is he probably the most physically gifted just in terms of athleticism and arm strength, even though he has virtually no production, I mean, he has 400 dropbacks in his career, is that, like, he's probably the one guy who comes off maybe as the smartest and the guy that, like, you love him in the room. And maybe over time they just sort of fell in love with him.
Sounds like he'll never throw an incompletion. He's the most physically talented and the smartest man alive.
But I also think
number three,
he's got to be one of the biggest risks of all time. He dropped back 380 times in his career. They've barely seen him play, and it was in North Dakota State.
It was a lot to give up by the Niners to essentially move up to take this level of a chance. But if he hits the ground running, and who knows when that happens, because as of right now, Jimmy G still in the building. If he hits the ground running and he's a star, it's going to, you know, cement Lynch and Shanahan there for a long, long time. But if this goes off the rails and they kind of messed up their future with the draft to get a guy that couldn't play, it's going to be catastrophic. It's a huge moment for them.
Then you're put into the same category as a Mitch Trubisky type of trade up, except even more expensive. So, yeah, I mean, there is high risk reward. I mean, they talk about the last 10 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Every one of them had 1,200 attempts in college. I mean, there are front offices out there that would rule out quarterbacks that don't have a certain amount of proven production at a big college level. Other front offices do it differently. And we know Shanahan does it differently. I mean, I'd come away a little concerned with, you know, whispers and flat out just comments that the front office and Shanahan and all of them just were not on the same page, that they had no idea what was going on. That said, if you're Shanahan or if you're any of those people, you're in a building with an almost Belichickian type leader in Shanahan who is basically calling the shots. And if it works, he looks like a genius. If it doesn't, they'll probably still call him a genius. I seems like I love him, but he seems a little Teflonish too. He's got to win with this quarterback sooner than later.
I think this was what would cost him though.
If this didn't
work out, he has been a little Teflon. I think they have one winning season in 7 years. He hasn't been there that whole time, but this has to work. This has to work just like it has to work for the Jets move that they made going up to get Zach Wilson or trading Darnold to get Zach Wilson. These are important franchise-defining type draft picks this high.
It's exciting, though. It's exciting to see your boy Kyle Shanahan get someone. You kind of feel like Shanahan will make them bust-proof. I mean, if if Mullins can put up those stats, then you kind of figure like, well, what's the worst Lance could be is maybe average. I mean, you would think just because their offense is so good. They have Trent Williams at left tackle. They have Ayuk and Debo Samuel and George Kittle. I mean, it is an amazing situation. So just as a football fan, I'm excited to see such like an athletic guy in Shanahan's system instead of Mac Jones. Then again, I'm going to have to watch Mac Jones with the Patriots, so maybe.
Yes, and we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a little bit. So, yeah, so Lawrence, Wilson, Lance. Then the first seven players, by the way, this was a record, all offensive players. So Kyle Pitts, the tight end out of Florida, becomes the highest drafted tight end in NFL history, going to the Falcons. Intrigue there, of course, especially coming off a week where there are whispers about Julio Jones's future. That makes even more sense now, knowing what their intentions were to take this game-changing. This guy is entering the league with a level of hype that few tight ends match. So you have Pitts there. Calvin Ridley has emerged as a star in his own right. So Julio Jones, you don't want to say this, but he seems like someone that can be moved without killing the offense, which you would have never thought. Now we see if that actually happens, and if it doesn't, man, that's one hell of a 1-2-3 punch on that offense.
Well, I would say that Arthur Smith, maybe I like him more than others, but I think he's a severe upgrade over Dirk Cotter in 2021. And on top of it, I mean, when it comes to Julio Jones, I don't think that would be out there if they didn't severely need to restructure like the money they have. I don't think you'd be looking to move him just to move him. So if he sticks around and you add Kyle Pitts to this offense, like, you've got something. I still think they're a hot target to draft a running back earlier than later. It could be in round two here, but they're not far away from having, again, a very intriguing offense.
Matt Ryan's had a nice offseason. They basically guaranteed some money down the line that kept him there. You add Kyle Pitts. I don't think their defense is going to be good, and so he could be a fantasy guy. Like you could just see them being in like 35 to 33 every week with these Falcons.
It's like Matt Ryan has all these skill players and, they're in a lot of like coming from behind situations and you're like, oh, this is perfect. Then you look up and he has 27 touchdowns at the end of the year. It's like,
I think that permanently soiled your opinion of Matt Ryan.
Yeah, that MVP fantasy year with you. You got him after the MVP year, I think, which was.
I feel like he throws 27 touchdowns and 13 interceptions every year. I don't know. Don't check those stats. At number five, Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver from LSU, reunites with Joe Burrow. I have my thoughts on this, that they should have went and got Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. But okay, I mean, this works too. But let's see if they put some focus on the offensive line. I'll do a couple here, and you guys could say whatever you want on any of them. Jalen Waddle goes number six to the Dolphins, the Alabama wide receiver, and that makes sense as well. I like the move where you take the young quarterback and connect him to a lot of talent and see if he can play. Well, now you have Fuller and Parker and Waddle together. That's a nice trio. And then, as I mentioned, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, the top offensive lineman in the draft, goes to the Lions at number seven.
I just like and they made a big deal out of this on television, but I wonder if there's more thinking going into some of this too. It's the talent of the player, but you get Ja'Marr Chase paired back with his college quarterback. You get Jalen Waddle paired with someone in Tua that he knows. It's like, okay, maybe that doesn't matter. But what's wrong with giving your young quarterback someone that he's worked with for a long period of time? There's chemistry is there. And I get what you're saying about picking maybe Sewell, or it would have been Sewell over Chase, but I don't know. A good offensive line coach can do a lot for an offensive line. I'm not sure they have one.
But you know what does better? Having big talent.
Right, but they have two. They do have, the thing is, if you look at their tackle situation, I don't love it, but they have invested in their tackle situation.
They signed Riley Reiff this offseason, which has slipped under the radar. Riley Reiff's been a starting tackle for a while. He's not a huge difference maker, but he's been an average starting tackle, and then they drafted Jonah Williams, 10th overall. Right. He's been okay. I think it's just thinking that Chase is really unique. Like Bob McGinn does that, scouts poll, and he was the first unanimous, wide receiver to get first place votes from every single scout since Calvin Johnson. And so you're thinking maybe if this guy's Calvin Johnson, then Sewell's not as unique. I was more surprised that the Dolphins took Waddle over Sewell. I thought that was going to be locked in, and they could have put Sewell and Austin Jackson as their two tackles, and they took Waddle, and it was very similar to last year how Ruggs went ahead of who am I forgetting here? Judy for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Like, Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy, and Waddle, who I like more than Ruggs, who seems exciting, ends up going ahead of Devontae Smith.
And yeah, Sewell, you know, that's a nice pick for the Lions, who are no need, no rush here to make a big splash. This is a team that's rebuilding, so you get a guy there. Even if the Lions fans aren't going to get pumped up about it, that could be a great pick for them.
Could have taken Fields in a couple of years, but they just weren't in love with Justin Fields. I kind of think if they like loved it, Justin Fields, they would have taken him. It wasn't about, I can't imagine it was about Jared.
He was there.
Or one of the wide receivers, because they're, you know, yeah, Jared Goff's being protected, but they're like, you look at the infrastructure of their offense and it's messy.
All right. So the run on offensive players ends at number 8 with the Panthers. And I talked about this on our last podcast, that Sam Darnold, after twisting in the wind with the Jets, was in that same position heading into Thursday night again, where you didn't know all this talk about Tepper, whether he was going to make the big splash and get the quarterback in the draft. And when Justin Fields was still there and Mac Jones was still there, it was like, uh-oh, the Panthers are going to do this, and that's going to be tricky for the former USC star and ex-New York Jet. But instead, they select J.C. Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina. And then the Broncos pick next, another team that you would think could use a game-changing prospect at quarterback.
I lost sandwiches on it.
Yes. Yes, they have Drew Locke there still. Yes, they just traded for Teddy Bridgewater. But so they say, we're set there now at quarterback, I guess. And they take Patrick Surtain, the second cornerback out of Alabama.
I think this is when mock drafts started to go hideously south.
How'd yours do, by the way? Because
it went hideously south around this point. Like, I mean, I think I got maybe 7 or 8 right, but it's the same 7 or 8 that like 5,000 other jabronis got. So it was an unremarkable run. But you had promised
18 to 20, was it?
18 to 25, I think, yes. I said, while we were at a baseball game. I maybe could have thought about that tweet differently.
You got to under-promise and over-deliver. Right.
Well, I've been doing the opposite for years. That's sort of the problem. I mean, if you look at this, though, if you look at Carolina's defense, like what they did last year, I love Jeremy Chinn. You know, you've got Bouye, Dante Jackson. You add J.C. Horn. They're growing their defense like in rapid fashion. I mean, these guys all have to work out, but Horn is like a special cover man based on the data that I've received.
Now, like the when the Broncos took a cornerback, I was flummoxed.
I've received.
Well, I've been doing lots of study during this, but. You did not think they'd go corner there at Denver, Greg?
Well, they corner has to be one of their strongest positions on the roster before this.
It's Vic Fangio. He will always take a defensive player no matter what happens.
They signed Kyle Fuller for a lot of money. They signed Ronald Darby for a lot of money. They signed Bryce Callahan, who's been really good for Fangio a year ago for a lot, and he I think he can play well. Ojemudia was a rookie last year who I thought played really well. So that's 4 guys already. You just added a top 10 pick. So that got people thinking, well, maybe they're taking this pick for Green Bay. So, you know, I haven't totally ruled that out, but then Green Bay took a cornerback, which kind of doesn't totally support that theory unless they want 2 of them. So I do. The smoke in Denver has to have some reality to it. And then when they didn't take a quarterback, that does lend you to thinking they're not going to be out of this, whether that's for 2021 or next year. We'll see.
Well, John Elway did once upon a time successfully recruit Peyton Manning and got a ring out of it and a run of dominant play and record-setting offense.
I could see Aaron Rodgers in Denver. Like, I could see him, like, doing local ads for, like a weed company or something.
Yeah, he'd fit well in Denver. You know, having lived there, he'd jive right in.
What about the Shailene Woodley factor here? I mean, she might not want him in Colorado. She might want him right here.
Yeah.
The Chargers,
that's closer. I know it's not that close. People were making fun that's, like, but it's like, it does make a difference if you're only on a 2-hour flight versus like, you know,
I need
Green
to see
Bay.
More evidence that they're like hanging out hour by hour. There's not a lot of, you know, where are the Instagram photos? Where's the show? You know, where's all the business? I mean, come to me.
Broncos fans are not going to be thrilled if they are, you know, 6-7 and Teddy Bridgewater just took over for Drew Locke getting benched, you know, in 14.
But that's exactly what's going to happen, which made this to me, if they don't wind up with Aaron Rodgers, and if Justin Fields becomes brilliant, John Elway. I know that John Elway is now hiding behind. Well, hiding is not fair, but we got General Patton there, and it's like, you know, John Elway can avoid the blame, but like you cannot miss on this. Like if Justin Fields passed you by, the floor falls out.
When you have a brave leader like General Patton directing the troops, you know there's nothing to be fearful of. And if Aaron Rodgers is there for the taking, you will get him. Because people like General Patton, leaders like that, don't come around too often.
they can't allow Schlereth into the building, by the way, if Rodgers does not end in Green Bay. Because I had my cousin Justin, who's a big Broncos fan. You know, the second Schlereth sends this tweet out, they think Rodgers is coming to Denver tonight. Like, that's a fireable offense.
I nailed the finally. I've struggled with it, but I have the pronunciation on that particular gentleman. Mark Schlarf.
Snarf. We should have him on, you know? He's a radio guy.
All right.
I think he creates salsa or chili, by the way.
He's got his own salsa company. Yeah.
Interesting moment in the draft comes at number 10, when the Eagles move from number 12 to number 10 in a trade. Who are they going to trade with? The Cowboys. The Eagles and Cowboys trading with each other on draft night. So they trade up to number 10 to take Alabama stud Heisman Trophy winner DeVonta Smith. Oh, my goodness. The Cowboys traded their 10th pick, got back the 12th pick, as well as the Eagles' third-round pick. The Cowboys selected linebacker Micah Parsons with the 12th pick. Love this move for the Eagles. A little bit surprised that the Cowboys were willing to help out, but they're getting something out of it. And the Giants are dying. Dave Gettleman, they were laser focused on a wide receiver because they then trade out of the top of the first round and then take a wide receiver later. And that worked out. I thought that was actually a good trade. Dave Gettleman finally trades out. But let's focus on the Eagles side of things. This feels like a big move for Jalen Hurts, who, again, he feels like a big winner here now. Because
he made the winners and losers column, Dan. Check it out, excellent. NFL.com.
Check that out on NFL.com/Rosenthal. Because Carson Wentz shipped out of town. The Eagles don't bring in another quarterback despite a lot of hype and buzz around do they believe in Hurts. And now they go and get him, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner and a potential superstar number one wide receiver. Okay, let's see what happens here.
He's so different, Smith, you know, at 166 pounds at his most recent testing, that it does still feel like one of those picks that Roseman's out on a ledge a little bit. I mean, everyone's excited. Jeremiah thinks he is a true, true one. And you're right. It's so good for Hurts. Another quarterback receiver combo. Now, I don't know
from Alabama.
Smith was like playing a lot when Jalen Hurts was playing there. That was, you know, that was before Hurts transferred. And
you guys put more into this than I did. Yeah, but I guess they used to play together.
I'm just saying it. I'm just noting it. I don't think it's like an earth shaking, you know.
But I think it's nice too, because Jalen Reagor, I feel a little bad for him because he's not Justin Jefferson. I don't think he's necessarily a bust.
He's only,
you know, but now he can be the number two receiver. He's more like the deep threat, like a Hollywood Brown. Hopefully, you know, maybe similar to Hollywood Brown or better. And now he slides down one. Like, they're going to be more fun to watch now.
I mean, like if DJ, you know, pinpointing and showing highlights of DeVonta Smith catching the ball amid defenders, racing for a long score, not even being touched. They called him the best route runner in the draft, and you're right, he called him a clear-cut number one. So, you know, I don't know how you really evaluate too many of the people from that offense from a year ago. It just was like a hard-on-the-eyes car crash. So, you know, maybe you actually have, over the last 2 years, found two good receivers, and you could change everything, and Hurts is in a great position.
All right.
Better than Wentz.
I mentioned Parsons to the Cowboys. Smith to the Eagles, the pick right in between at number 11. And this was seismic. And we'll see if this is a major turning point for a franchise in desperate need of a spark right now. So 4 years ago, the Bears traded up to number 2 overall and took Mitchell Trubisky. And it was one of the great misfires in recent NFL history, not just because Trubisky couldn't really play the guitar, but Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson were like Slash and Eddie Van Halen, you know, taking the guitar analogy further. Maybe the brother that Rosenthal worked. You know, throw him in there too.
Dean,
the other god of guitar. So that didn't work out. So 4 years later, they once again make a draft day move. They trade up 9 spots with the Giants, and they take, yes, OSU quarterback Justin Fields. The Giants received the Chicago Bears first-round pick, which was number 20, and fifth-round pick this year, and then the Bears first and fourth-rounders next year. So the Giants really clean up, and I think it worked out for them because they went and got a wide receiver, and then also now have this bounty of picks. But Justin Fields brings, Mark, something that you've talked about many, many times on the show, and I agree with you. There's no buzz around the Bears. There's nothing to be excited about. Justin Fields is not a can't-miss prospect, but if he hits, it changes everything in the NFC North.
I mean, you know, were it a different organization that was run differently, I think it would be odds on that Ryan Pace wouldn't have been here to make this move. The Bears are very creaky with their front office and coaching decisions in general. But look, how do you realign your career? How do you change perception? Number one, I think in the NFL, it's by being aggressive and daring. And Wes used to talk about that all the time. The fortune favors the bold. And I had, you know, Bears call. Fans. Right. I had Bear fans. We all have Bears fans as friends that, you know, they're like, do you think someone will fall to them at 20? It's like, a quarterback. No, I don't. I mean, you're going to have to do something more than that. You wanted to offer the moon and distant stars for Russell Wilson. So why not maybe think about packaging picks to get up a quarterback that you like in this one? And they did it. So I for me, it changes the whole energy of a team that I found de-energizing. And I don't know if I trust Matt Nagy to kind of groom this quarterback. But it's not fair just to judge him on Trubisky because that was just a wild whiff. And Fields brings excitement. Bears have not really ever drafted a quarterback worth their salt. I mean, it's just they're an outlier on that front. So they swung for the fences. If it works, it changes the Bears forever. And I think he's a good fit for this team. He's from Ohio. He's a cold weather quarterback. He can do it all. He's fun to watch. And it, to me, turns one of the least enjoyable franchises at this current time in the NFL to something I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I agree with everything there. That's well said. I just worry that it's a tough spot. Reminds me a little bit of Darnold when he arrived in New York, because I think the GM coach situation is so precarious that, you know, you would give them over under 1 year left. Because no matter how, you know, if Justin Fields is great this year and he looks great in this offense, that solves everything, and he will play over.
And he does have a number one receiver in Allen Robinson.
Yep. He does, and, you know, I like Mooney okay at number two, but, you know, I guess I got to see it. You know, it doesn't feel like, it's certainly not Trey Lance landing in San Francisco, or for that matter, Mac Jones, I think, is in a better situation with New England. I think, you know, there will be challenges, and if they don't win this year, they will probably change, you know, the regime, and then things start getting messy.
I think you're spot on with that, because foundation is so important with these guys, because if things don't go well, like you're saying, and they reboot, well, if they reboot and they hit on the hire with the coach and GM, then you'll be okay. But it's a big roll of the dice. These things work out half the time, and maybe even more the other direction. They don't work out. So you're starting over again, and then maybe that works, maybe it doesn't. Then all of a sudden you're in your third or fourth year of your rookie deal, and then they have to ask questions about you unless you're a star. So
not trying to be a downer for Bears fans.
No,
they should be thrilled. They got some breaks tonight, yes. The way the draft fell,
yep.
And then they took advantage.
I think you could dwell on the negative things, and you shouldn't turn a blind eye to it, but I think on balance, this is exactly what Bears fans have been waiting for. And I talk about it all the time about Joe Namath and the Jets and how long it's been. Well, they haven't had anybody that they could truly call a franchise quarterback. Sid Luckman? I mean, Jay Cutler right. Wasn't that
Cutler,
guy.
Cutler, sort of. You know.
I don't know, man. A true franchise
Cutler was, no.
Quarterback. So maybe Fields becomes that guy. And if he stinks, if Fields can't play, well, everybody's gone.
Well, I'll tell you what. I thought Jay Cutler was a franchise quarterback when they traded for him, and so did most people at the time.
Did,
we yep. were all.
I know,
but
Greg, this is another quarterback that I like. Here's the natural, like, organic view of Jay Cutler, and Greg's is that view with like 8 percentage points higher.
Well,
it's kind of like a Teddy Bridgewater type thing.
Well, he was a great example of what a Shanahan offense can make you think. Because I think if he had spent his whole career with Kyle, you know, with Mike Shanahan, we'd love Jay Cutler. He was so exciting, but. That's kind of where I'm getting at with Fields, that it's, you know, is this coaching staff going to take advantage, or is he going to be like a Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving now here.
Oh, by the way, I did want to point out, it is fun. You mentioned how, you know, it's 4 years about since Trubisky. Remember that was the night when Mike Glennon, who had signed a $16 million contract, went to the draft party, and then they took Trubisky. And then very similarly, I mean, it's not quite as bad, but there was that tweet with Andy Dalton, QB1. That was kind of the version of Glennon going to the draft party.
Well, that's also the Bears creating their own problems. It's like, you know,
I'll never forget.
Anyone,
I think I might have even written that around the league or around the NFL post.
Yeah.
It was at Soldier Field. So they basically took an area of Soldier Field and invited a bunch of season ticket holders and then had some players there. And Glennon had just signed that deal. I mean, dude, the guy dirty. I mean, you're doing Mike Glennon dirty. If you even had a thought that you were going to go make a move like that, and you had to have had a thought, you say, Mike, stay home. Stay home, Mike.
Well, can I offer one counterpoint to that?
Yeah.
Let's say you get hired by a company to come in and do a ton of work. You got a lot of pressure on you, but you signed for a lot of guaranteed money. So you're thinking, all right, I made a lot of money, but I'm going to have to deliver. Well, they just went and drafted a rookie who's going to start over you immediately, because that's how this works. You've made a ton of money. You don't have to do a lick of work. I don't remember Mike Glennon throwing a pass during that entire thing. And so, in a sense, he kept his body clean. He lives in a giant house.
Did he keep his dignity, though? I mean, that's got to count.
We'll deal with that another day.
It's not all about money. This isn't an episode of Money on Money, okay?
Who is the person that would have constantly...
Mike Glennon's dignity.
Right, Andy, but who Dalton would constantly tell you that money is not the issue? I would, and I'm wrong about that half the time. But I'm just saying, it was like you're basically getting paid a fortune to do like 15 minutes of work a week.
I think
not
Glennon
the worst.
Started two games. That's totally off the top of my head. That could be wrong. That's about what Dalton feels like is going to be the over-under here.
I mean, with all these guys, we could sit here all day. It's all relative. These are very well-paid, well-compensated individuals across the
landscape. Unless you're Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Well, he's horribly underpaid.
Glennon had four starts.
Underappreciated.
Four starts.
Okay. All right. Let's keep moving through the first round into the middle of the draft. All right. Rashawn Slater, tackle from Northwestern, goes to the Chargers. Greg, do you want to add anything on that? I know you wanted a little more help blocking for
Justin
Herbert.
Yeah, no,
Justin
I thought
Herbert.
That was nice. I'm very worried about them blowing Herbert's chances of being a top five QB. So I think that the draft fell perfectly for them.
Got like Corey Lindsley too, Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I had to save that.
You had me on the edge of my seat there. Like, how's he going to land this one? All right, then a trade. My New York Jets, they picked number two. They took the quarterback, and we've heard it since Joe Douglas has taken the job. He's all about offensive linemen. He was an offensive lineman. Da-da-da-da-da-da. So they make a move. They send their 23rd overall pick, the 66th and the 86th overall pick. So they sent their first rounder and both third rounders to the Vikings to move up from 23 to 14. They also got back a late round draft pick, and they used that to take USC offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker. Of course, I'm doing deep dives right when this I know he was in the top 15 in almost every mock draft, and he's seen as a rock solid plug and play interior lineman, which the Jets desperately needed. Giving up both third round picks maybe was a little on the pricey side, but then I think about if he can play and he could solidify the left side of the interior, and you have Mekhi Becton next to him at left tackle, we're starting to cook now. We're starting to do something and really figure out this offensive line, so it could pay big dividends.
I would just remember what kind of offense they want to be. I mean, this is a Kyle Shanahan, you know, they're going to be heavy run. And they know exactly what kind of lineman they want to get. So if this got the seal of approval, you're right. It's an upside. They were the second worst pass protecting line in the league last year and looked that way and looked sometimes like the worst, even one step worse down to 32. So, you know, this is an improvement.
Sounds like he could play some right tackle too. I thought you won sandwiches on this, but you, you know, very nobly reminded the go get my lunch people that you said they were going to trade up for a receiver, not
people.
Just any trade up. I couldn't think of Nick Fortier's name at the time, but I had it. Like,
yes, I had my one, and we'll do our sandwich props at the end of Saturday's show, I thought Jets were going to trade up and take a wide receiver. They traded up and took a guard. So on balance, They get a new quarterback, and they improve the offensive line. And I still, my boy, Landon Dickerson, Alabama, fell out of the first round on medical issues. I wish the Jets had a third-round pick. If maybe he fell down there, maybe they move up if they can. But maybe Landon in the second round. Got my eye on you, buddy. I believe in your body. Believe in that guy's body.
How is the Chipotle burrito going to be delivered during the show? Emily's going to come in with it?
This is why, yes.
Keeping your kids up?
Getting married. No, my kids are done. They're in bed. Emily is waiting. She's staring out from the front window, just waiting for the moment the burrito arrives, and she's going to then shuttle it to me directly.
Did you allow her to – did she buy dinner too, or was it just a you operation?
It's a solo purchase on Grubhub because it is 10 o'clock here. So I'm gonna probably have a bite of the burrito because I already had a dinner. I don't want to double up dinner. That's not what we're trying to do in the off season. We're trying to make good health decisions in the off season. But I also have to have a celebratory bite of the burrito for good luck. That's where I'm at.
Well done. I'm in my bedroom right now, so Emeka is not sleeping until we're done.
No, that's weak.
She has no choice.
That's a tough situation.
Is she in the? She's not. I hope she's not in the room though, listening to this nonsense.
She's trying to. She's like 5 feet away, just wearing. No,
I'm pan the camera over. I do have to say, like the NFL when the pandemic started, they're like, "Hey, you got to take a portion of your house and turn it into a studio." And we're like, "Hey, man, that's the break. So we got to do it. We're lucky to be employed. These houses in LA here, where they're not very big, but we're going to do it." And then, you know, people are getting shots and the world's starting to return to normal. And then all of a sudden the NFL sends a truck over with all new equipment. And I'm like, oh, am I not getting this part of my house back? I don't think I am.
I think I've lost
this part of my house. Am I paying less rent? Is there going to be some type of reimbursement of portion of, when you look at the square footage that I've lost? It's not, you know, we don't have a ton of space.
Negatory. How about this? You will get nothing and like it.
Interesting bullet point for your next negotiation.
You will take 74 square feet of my rent, or I walk. See how that goes. All right. Speaking of walking, Ricky Hollywood was walking off a pier when the New England Patriots sat at 15 and took Mac Jones, the quarterback out of Alabama. Mac Jones, of course, Ricky, who was slated by Smokescreen at number 3 overall, falls to 15, and the Patriots with Cam Newton in the house now bring in Mac Jones. And I would say this, Ricky, none of us are college experts, and you are not one either. You seem to think that this guy is going to be a boondoggle for the Patriots. We got to let this play out because he has a ceiling, people say. I think it was Charles Davis that might have said it, and great job. I got to give it up, I have to say. I hate to say this, but Daniel Jeremiah did awesome work on NFL Network.
They were excellent tonight.
Sorry.
The NFL Network, the draft is the thing we dominate better than anything.
Yeah. I didn't even turn on ESPN. I like that network too as a sports fan, but on draft night, I got to be loyal to the brand, and we did a nice job. Charles Davis, I believe, was the man, or it was the Stanford coach. Was it Shaw?
Said this is a
Matt Ryan-type ceiling. And then maybe more kind of Andy Dalton is where it could end up. That would be okay, especially if you go closer to the Ryan end. Come on, Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, the 49ers, they obviously didn't want him, which makes sense, and then he keeps falling. And then when the Lions didn't take, I really don't think they're sold on Goff. So I was like, there's a chance he could take Justin Fields. And then the Eagles traded up, like you said, and then they took the wide receiver that everyone's talking about. So I was like, oh, my God, Justin Fields literally might fall because of, you know, the Cowboys and all that. So I'm getting, like, super excited and being like, oh, my God. And so when then the Bears all of a sudden traded up, I knew exactly what was happening. And then the later it goes, not that 15 is even that late, but I'm like, Mac Jones is falling. Like, nobody wants him. And, yeah, he worked, you know, was under Saban. It's the same scheme as the Pats and all this kind of stuff. So, like, Matt Ryan as a ceiling, like, I guess it's better than Cam Newton. I mean,
Matt Ryan's an MVP, and borderline MVP.
Matt Ryan missed a game in, like, you know, 13
But Ricky's
years
making a good point. When you're talking about, like, where Patriots fans are at, after what for them was a very trying 7-9. And I know Greg has a sandwich prop on it. So Greg was all about it. Everyone was like Justin Fields to the Pats in a new era. So now you have Mac Jones. And yeah, Greg, you're I know you're not as excited about a Mac Jones future as you would have been Justin Fields.
No, because of the style of play. I mean, he's the first quarterback taken in the first round, correct me if I'm wrong, since Jared Goff, that's like not athletic. Has there been anyone else?
Yeah,
I mean, Baker, people say, but Baker can move a little bit. I mean, you know, I just don't think like the physical gifts are there. That said, it's funny because at the very beginning of the process, people kind of thought Mac Jones was like a mid first round pick and made a lot of sense for the Patriots. So, you know, the more I listen to people that are really into studying the college evaluation, like they liked Mac Jones. He just, you know, they liked him as kind of like the 15th or 20th best player in the draft, not a top tier guy. And, you know, it's not as exciting. Like his style of play is not as exciting. There's some.
Yeah. You know, the photo of Brady that gets circled around at the draft every single year about him shirtless and what he weighs and all this, you know, just like the quarterback that doesn't look good. Go look at the photo of Mac Jones shirtless with a cigar in his mouth.
I haven't seen that photo until tonight, and someone shot it in text. And it's not the most impressive physique, but he's gonna get into a professional strength of training program, right?
I mean, I was under the impression, Ricky, that maybe was the most annoying part to you was the, I wouldn't call it flabby, but maybe just sort of.
I'd say flabby.
It's kind of a dad bod.
Like how a 12-year-old boy who's eaten too much food around the pool looks like. Just a bit of a blimpy stomach. He probably isn't always looking that way, but like that seemed to be more agitating to you than what you had caught from his Alabama career per se.
We have Josh McDaniels and, you know, Bill Belichick, this great. You know, we kind of unlocked it a little bit with Cam, with a mobile quarterback. So I like, as the night kept going on, I got wicked excited about Justin Fields. And I really thought that the possibility was getting closer and closer and closer, because who even knows if when the Eagles traded up, I was like, oh, maybe they're going to get him because they might not be all in on Hurts either. Mm, and they've said that.
I love this Patriots fan disappointment.
It just, right.
Here's the new normal.
Is it more concerning for you that you got Mac Jones, or that you were out, that Bill Belichick was outwitted by Ryan Pace?
Yeah, both.
I mean, Lombardi claimed before the draft there was no chance they were taking Fields, which cooled me, which got me my expectations way lower. So even as the night was going, I kind of figured they'd like take a defensive player if Fields was on the board. Yeah, I don't know if Ricky. Maybe I'm wrong. You talked to Patriots fans too. I think. I would suspect this pick was actually fairly popular in New England because they want, you know, they want a new quarterback, essentially. They, you know, it's like this Saban clone. I mean, weirdly, like the Patriots fans have been almost brainwashed into like wanting clones and like Mac Jones like walking down looking all serious. Honestly, the thing I like least about them getting Mac Jones is what I fear is going to be like the Patriots fans' reaction. And just everything about the Mac Jones like versus Cam Newton experience is going to be a little messy. You know, there's some, you know, Brady got a lot of stuff for being like a Trump guy and stuff. There's a little bit of that with Mac Jones. So it's all
SEC crazy guy. Yeah, you'll see that photo again if you haven't seen him.
But don't you think, like, I like the process of it. By the time they got to the pick there, I kind of wanted them to take Mac Jones because I really do believe you have to keep taking quarterbacks. And they've earned my benefit of the doubt. It's like, well, they'll probably make it work with Mac Jones. Like, I can see that working.
Yeah, just like a wannabe MVP Cam Newton, for sure.
I'm still rooting for Cam.
I'm still wanting Cam to win.
We know you are.
But that's an uphill battle.
We know you are.
All right. Let's keep moving. All right, so as we now head through the end of the middle into the back end, you have, let's see, Zaven Collins, the talented linebacker out of Tulsa, goes to the Cardinals, so they take linebackers in the first round back-to-back years. Alex Leatherwood, offensive tackle, Alabama, goes to the Raiders at number 17. This is becoming a great new tradition. Everyone kills the Raider pick in the first round. And you know how, DJ, great job. This guy knows his stuff. I'm on this. This is my biggest stage of the year, and I knocked it out of the park. Everybody look at me. I'm prepared and charismatic and well-spoken. Whatever. Good job, bro. Also a guy that he's not going to tear you down on national television. That's just not DJ style. But this is DJ killing a pick if you truly can code out the way DJ feels about a pick. Play it, Ricky.
This one is a little bit of it's interesting pick because you talk to people around the league, they're all over the map on Alex Leatherwood. Some really like him, some struggle with him. He's played a lot of football at Alabama, started a lot of ball games. He's got quick feet. He was my 62nd overall player. So it was a little bit earlier than I had him coming off the board. But obviously they've found some traits in Alex Leatherwood that they felt great about.
I'm just trying to read into what you're saying. This pick kind of surprises you, huh?
I did not think Alex Leatherwood would come off the board in the second round. I mean, he's not going to be a good player, be a solid starter.
He also pointed out that they could have, you know, possibly traded back and gotten more value, which I thought was the most salient point of criticism there too, because he pointed out when Mayock was on the set, he would be like, if you've got a conviction, like there's nothing too early to take a player. But now they've taken Cleveland Farrell fourth. They took Arnett last year, which was a shocker. And then this one, I do like the Jeremiah. I was like, I had him 62nd.
Well, I think he's trying to be constructive with his criticism, but they're friends. I mean, if suddenly we were having to talk about
it. He replaced them in this very job that DJ's in as the number one draft analyst. And then I was also thinking, it's like, as DJ's saying, all right, I hate this pick, but I'm going to be a GM next year. And how would I want my replacement to come after me if I had a reach in the first round? It's like, you're kind of in a tough spot in that position.
Right. I mean, but I'll give Mayock this. Like, yeah, all right, look, have the drafts all worked? No, I think it's been underwhelming, but he's at least living what he said he mentioned on NFL Network about when you believe in someone, you just take them. I mean, he thinks for himself. Now, there's some Gruden in there, obviously, too. But, I mean, Mayock, like, consistently does things that no one expects in the draft. It's just that I think
they just need
that,
to work. You
know, it need to work because
that's
I get
cool.
concerned about
having,
like, when you're
like
hearing,
a bold
like,
vision. Like, we have our board and our board. We don't care about anybody else. That's all good as long as the guys can play. Because
right.
if they
fine.
Don't,
like,
then you're just bad at this. So that there is a bit of a dance here.
They also got stuck, I think, into having to go offensive line because of some of the stuff that's happened this offseason, which is also front office business. But when you hear, like, half the league thinks he's a tackle, half he thinks he's a guard, to me that doesn't scream, like, we've got a home run here. It's like you got a project, and it's too high in
the
draft for that.
The trading back thing is, I think that's important. That's process. That's why I kind of was, you know, like I said, was with Jones. The process of it made sense to take a quarterback there. Like, you can't tell me that the Raiders couldn't have traded back and gotten some extra picks and still taken old Leatherface.
Leatherface.
Well, no.
Leatherface. This one.
By the way, Leatherwood. What type pick. Of, like, what product are you? Leather, wood, like which product?
No, that's a great call. Are you a guard? Or are you a tackle? Are
right.
you leather? Or are you wood? Who are you, Alex? And he's like, I don't know. Number 18, the Dolphins take Jalen Phillips, edge rusher out of Miami. The Washington football team takes Hamon Davis, linebacker out of Kentucky. And then the Giants, as I said, took a wide receiver out of Florida, Kadarius Toney. So we'll see if he turns out to be, listen, you never know with these wide receivers. You never know. Like, all these guys go in the first round. And just because Tony got picked after the three other studs, he might be better than all of them. And then the Giants would have the better wide receiver and the extra first-round pick. We'll see. Dave Gettleman, another potential chance to save his job. You know, he's an interesting career.
He did a good job tonight.
Bit of a gadget guy. You know, that's, I think, how Tony projects, is kind of a guy to use in a lot of creative ways. I mean, receiver, it was weird because they were zeroed in on receiver, it sounded like. And that was a good point, Dan. I didn't even think about that they probably were going to take Devonta Smith there. Like, they have good receivers. They have Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton, and Kenny Golladay, and Evan Ingram. And now they have Tony. So if nothing else, they should be a lot more watchable.
If those guys all stay healthy, too. That's been the issue there.
Yeah,
I tweeted that Gettleman, if nothing else, his drafting style is very linear. It's like, all right, he wants this, he'll take this. And in this case, because they took it from him, he said, I will now move back, and then I will take that same position, but only a little further in the block. There's not a lot of layers, it feels like, with Gettleman, but maybe it all works out in the end. All right, I asked you guys on text, Mark, I know you saw it a little later, sneaky good picks. I like the Titans did. Oh, by the way, the Colts take, I'm going to struggle with this name, Kwity
Pay.
Kwity Pay. The edge rusher out of Michigan at 21. The Titans, I really liked Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. This is their defense has been killing them the last couple of years. And this is Farley is, you know, not a can't miss prospect, but everyone says this guy's got a ton of upside and they need help in that secondary. I think that pick, sneaky good pick.
He just watching just a little bit of him, he leaps off the screen. I think he would have been a top 10 pick if not for these back surgeries. He would have been taken ahead of Surtain and he would have been taken ahead of Horn. And he's just a big injury risk. But I think when you're getting towards the end of the round, and it's similar to my sneaky good pick. Take a big swing, I think, at the end of the first round.
And, you know, they are a team that they pointed out on network, I thought correctly, that Jeffrey Simmons, injury issues coming in, but they just loved the player and they showed enough faith in his rehab and getting back on the field, and they won that one. I mean, when I watch him, they compared him to Charles Woodson, to Bobby Taylor, the old Eagle. I see little shades. It's not safety, but I see shades of Eric Turner in the way he hits. I mean, he just attacks. So if you get the healthy version of this, this was an awesome pick for the Titans.
Okay, let's keep moving through the first round here. Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech, goes to the Vikings at 23. They, of course, traded with the Jets back to 23 and picked up those two mid-round picks. And they take Darrisaw. Okay, the Steelers, there was a lot of buzz connecting Najee Harris, the talented Alabama running back. By the way, six Alabama players went in the first round of this draft. I mean, that is Nick Saban's doing something.
Well, they also were like, we're playing no matter what. There are other colleges that didn't get more than a couple games in, and Alabama's like, we don't really care what's happening in America. We're playing.
Right. But they're recruiting and they've built up such an outstanding program and a winning tradition there that I guess all these like blue chip guys must be running to go there. It's just unbelievable the factory that place is. Anyway, Najee Harris, the running back, goes to the Steelers at 24, adding a much, much, much needed element of dynamic talent in that running back group, because James Conner, after a lot of hype early on, he kind of petered out. Now he's in Arizona. Le'Veon Bell, of course, was a superstar, and we know how that ended. Now Harris is a chance to kind of breathe some life into that backfield.
Well, your mock got this one right there, Mark.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that wasn't me being Mike Mayock and thinking originally necessarily, but, you know, they comped him to Le'Veon Bell. Charles Davis comped him to Franco Harris, and he's a huge guy who can move. He had more rushing yards, receiving yards, and touchdowns than Derrick Henry or Mark Ingram at Alabama.
I do like when teams have like a profile. I mean, and there's a reason the Steelers do. They've had the same GM for 20 years, so they just keep.
They have a blueprint.
But they don't have an offensive line, and they haven't been the same since Mike Munchak left. So that's the part I don't quite get. Are you going to fix this schematically? Do you have the players up front? On paper, their offensive line looks terrible. Looks like one of the worst in the NFL.
They're organizationally, they've just been so stable and well-run for so long that you just assume it's going to work out. But with the line and the uncertain nature of Big Ben at this stage, coupled with the fact that it does look like they actually signed Mason Rudolph to a one-year extension today, or it was announced today. So it's like he's the backup, and you have that bust Haskins somewhere in the building as well. So it's like, okay, I mean, it's either going to be – they're either going to be 12-5 or 13-4, or this is going to be Mark's fever dream of all time, and they go 6-11. Like, I feel like there's not going to be like an in-between with this Steelers team.
You make
it's
it
hard
sound
to fix
like
your offensive line in April, May, and June.
Yeah, it's true. You make it sound like Haskins is just like hanging out in the IT closet or something. They're like, "Where is Haskins?"
Maybe. I mean, would you be surprised? He's like, you know, on his iPhone or something.
It might another be the best quarterback in the building right now. You never know.
I know. Dwayne Haskins is not the best quarterback in any building.
Imagine if you were so harsh about Sam Darnold here.
There you go. Always
the numbers are very similar. That's why.
Yes, Dwayne Haskins and Sam Darnold. That is a good comparison point to the type of individual we're dealing with here. The Haskins doesn't want to play. He didn't put any up. He got run out of town in 2 years, Greg.
Fair.
Travis Etienne. I think I got that.
Etienne.
Running back Clemson to the Jaguars. All right. I mean, that seemed weird.
Yeah, especially the way Urban Meyer talked about him. And maybe this is probably just coach speak, but he was like, we say James Robinson and Carlos Hyde as our 1-2 punch, and Etienne is our third down back because we wanted to have one of the top eight running back groups in the league. And I was like,
that was
okay.
A very odd comment.
What are you telling us so much information for?
It's probably just saying that and making the rookie earn his way. I mean, if you're drafted him 25, he better not be playing behind Carlos Hyde.
Well, and you won't like this, Dan, but it's another pairing of Clemson quarterback and his Clemson running back, which...
Nah, send a ball to Canton. They know each other.
I think you're suggesting that when Greg and I mentioned that, we think that it's going to be... going to make them all like Hall of Fame players. I'm just like, saying there seems to be this isn't every year this happens.
You know what I hope? I hope the Jets draft like every Mormon guy that
exactly.
Zach Wilson's ever hung out with by the end
of
this.
No, it's not like matching religions, but that's interesting too. Why not? Why don't
elements at BYU.
Remember when the Jets really did draft Mark Sanchez's buddy in the sixth
yes.
round?
Yes, yes, yes. In collision low crossers, that was covered extensively. No, I do like the idea of a Rosenthal, Sessler, co-GM thing where that's the only thing your draft board is, like matching up former teammates. It's like if you can get a high school teammates, that's fine, but we really want college teammates. We'll even go junior high if necessary. Speaking of Mark, the Browns take Greg Newsom the second, cornerback out of Northwestern. I find that I know you're ride or die with Andrew Berry in this brain trust right now, and why wouldn't you be? They've really built a nice roster here. I saw that you love this move.
Well, I do because I think that they had, from just some stuff that I'd heard, that there was a short list of players they were interested in. And in most mocks you look at, Newsom didn't get to them. And I think Caleb Farley was another guy they were into. And maybe, you know, Farley didn't get to them. And so that Newsom did, I think that was a win for the Browns. They wanted to go quarterback or edge. And just, you know, again, you've added John Johnson, Troy Hill. You get Greedy Williams back, who didn't play a snap last year. You get Grant Delpit back. And you get Newsom. That's five new players in your secondary. Secondary that, you know, even though they whipped Pittsburgh in that playoff game, gave up 500 yards in that game. It's like their defense was a liability. So, you know, they've done a lot to address that side of the ball, so I think that is a victory for Andrew Berry and co.
And a CEO nice showcase period. For Cleveland, you know, tonight. It was a little rainy, though. But, yeah, that was on Dan's radar. A little too much with, like, the, hey, we're the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing. It's like, well, there's also the Football Hall of Fame's nearby. I don't need Kings of right. Leon before and after the draft starts.
Agree, though, that whoever the host city is at any point – you and I will be sick of the host city, flourish and all the nonsense by the end of the weekend.
I'm not
no matter
sick
who
of
it is.
Cleveland at all. I'm just saying, don't build the telecast around King's.
No,
Leon.
But I mean, well, the draft hadn't even started, and Dan was already sending hot texts about, you know, Cleveland people being fake tough because it was raining or something. I don't know what it was you were.
I don't know. I think I texted clearly just to get a rise out of you, but I was like, it was wet and cold and miserable. And it was like, oh, let's put the draft in Cleveland because the people are so gritty. Like, how about we put somewhere 74 degrees and sunny? Let's not overthink. How about this? We return the draft so I could also like maybe see my family more than once a year. How about we return it to New York City? You know, the greatest city in the world. Put it in Radio City and kind of cut out some of this. I'm not going to get into it. I like my
job.
Not
the Radio City business. Like, you left with a back injury. You could barely sit in your seat on the way home.
Well, they could make some changes and updates to the venue, perhaps. Although I do love the kind of spirit of Radio City Music Hall and its place in Manhattan's history. But
for like the average man was my size. It's like Fenway Park seats. They're right. Not facing home plate, and they're like they're for a 140-pound guy.
Like, honestly, I kid you not, because we did used to go there every year for the draft, and they would just stick you in these like 1937 seats for 5'2", 114-pounders. And my neck got so messed up that I was in physical therapy for like 6 months, and they like diagnosed me with stenosis. I was like, "What? Yes, you can't do that, sir. You can't sit that way."
Did the NFL like show any more concern for that than they did for the room in your house being used for their Listen, goods and wares? But I would also remember that at that Radio City, when we weren't sitting in those, they had you sitting in the chairs with a wooden like pieces of wood on top of you that you put your laptop on. Yes. First of all, fire hazard. But they'd have us doing auxiliary work up in like the makeup rooms for like the Rockettes or something. It couldn't have been more bizarre slash. Unrewarding? Wild. I don't know.
Listen, not for me. I mean, any job the NFL wants to send me, it's a blessing on this end of the
team. All right, I see how this is going.
It was honestly a career highlight when I lived in New York to cover the draft in New York. That was sort of always my dream to like cover an event without like leaving the city, and getting to do that for 4 or 5 years was like a thrill.
Once I moved,
yeah, it would be nice to bring it back there.
It's time to bring
I also treasured the experience.
I didn't like flying in really, to be honest, you know, as much. But now I would. I haven't been there much.
And it does. Ricky points out the Super Bowl will be in Los Angeles this year, Greg. So I guess pinch yourself.
It's a little different. Like just the idea of I literally like walk to the draft. You're like walking through the
yes,
city,
no,
and you're going to the
cool.
draft. It was cool.
All right. So I like this pick a lot too. Rashad Bateman, who our friend Nate Tice had pumped up as a wide receiver that he loved out of Minnesota. He goes to the Ravens. So the Ravens had two first-round picks at 27 and 31. At 31, they take Jason Owe, edge Penn State. And, yes, Rashad Bateman, a guy with a lot of upside. And Tice, as you recall, boys, was very big on him. So you now add Bateman to the Hollywood Brown wide receiver group. And, okay, we're making some progress now.
Needed him, and I think you know a lot of mocks had him going earlier, and he can make plays down the field, seems very complete. And Owe, I'm fascinated by. He's my sneaky good pick because he looks like a freak. You could make the argument just looking at his testing numbers that he is as big a testing freak as any defensive end almost that's ever come out. And he reminds me a lot of Jadeveon Clowney. That's kind of how he plays. So maybe you know. If he has a career like Clowney and he landed in the perfect spot like that can actually coach him up to work with all this talent, you just figure the Ravens are going to make it work.
Peyton Turner, defensive end, goes to the Saints.
I don't think Saints fans were too excited about that based on what I was seeing on Twitter. A lot of WTF 8 exclamation marks.
That was, yeah, it was a little bit out of nowhere. But they said he's exactly like Marcus Davenport, which is not going to get them excited either.
I mentioned Stokes, the corner out of Georgia, went to the Packers. Greg Rousseau, who's a guy that very polarizing, as Lance Zierlein was talking about last week on our show, or earlier this week. This has been a very long week. He goes number 30 overall to the Bills. So that's obviously a roster similar to Cleveland, where you don't see a ton of holes, but getting another pass rusher in there with high upside, that's a nice move this late in the draft.
I think they're thrilled he got there. I mean, you saw, like, it seems like every war room is just a bunch of people pumping their fists. But at the same time, like, I think that was a little genuine from the Bills. I don't think that Rousseau was someone they expected to have a chance to grab.
Wait, are you nice insinuating spirit. They're fake fist pumps?
No, I think it's the kind of thing where, like, and I get it, like, why would you're going to like whoever you pick at that moment, but it's like, who's really, really feeling like, holy F, we scored here? And I would put the Bills in the higher echelon of feeling like, holy F, we really scored here.
The Cowboys always lay it on a little thick with their celebrating.
Sure.
Oh, they didn't tonight because they wanted to take a cornerback, and it went cornerback in front of them, and then they traded out. So they were, I think they got banged.
Oh, that's also like
more than any team in the league in terms of what they wanted.
Jarrah has like 37 hidden cameras all throughout the draft room trained on everyone. And if you don't have the exact reaction that he wants, you're gone.
Right. And they've been drinking whiskey since 11 a.m. So, you know.
Was the guy that cleans the glasses, was he in the draft room, you think?
I didn't see him.
Their draft room
always has a lot of people.
Cousin Greg?
I found it hilarious that the Patriots' entire draft room was Belichick, Kraft, and one other person who I think was Patricia. I think it was, that's it. That was their entire draft room. They don't let anyone else in. It's just like...
who beefed?
Oh, my God.
By the way, Greg, easy with the Kings of Leon slander. It's so easy, but that band, and now they're over the hill, and I listened to the most recent album, and it's you know, it's sad when it happens, but their time came and went. But those early Kings of Leon records were some of the best to me rock of the early to mid 2000s. So I'm going to just say that. I want to get that out there, and I want that to be on the record.
Please respond, Greg.
No, I saw, you know, they had a very mixed reaction on Twitter. Some people were very excited. You know, a lot of the same people who like it when they, you know, they play Bruce Springsteen and stuff. And other people were like, "Who are these guys?"
Oh, you're so
hip, I had to Google.
Greg.
I
like
hip.
I like rap.
Song.
Oh,
I like.
No.
I love.
Anybody that
I love
likes
a lot
rock
of rock.
Is so out of touch.
I love a lot of rock music. Just not the Leons.
Do we have to keep talking until this burrito shows up? By the way,
that is a good point. I'm starting to worry about the burrito. Aha! Shake Heartbreak. Check that out. Check that out. I know. Listen, there's going to be large swaths of football Twitter that if you're a veteran rock band, you get your cheap shots in because it shows that you're cool. And
if it was
in.
The Killers or the Strokes or something, I would have been about it. Why not? That would be, it's also just like the timing. Why is any band playing? The bar to take up that time slot is really high. Like,
I will
you better
say this.
Reanimate Prince or it's something really big.
On
you know,
the subject
to, like,
of
take
music.
Take up that slot.
Like, the only comment I would make, critique of our coverage is we were very, very plugged in on the music that was being played by the house band during the telecast.
There was one moment where I thought that they did, what was it? Was it Sweet Caroline? Where they
I don't need
showed
to hear that
the
song again.
No,
and
no,
I remember hearing that and being like, because it's the Red Sox song, of course. And right. I was thinking to myself, oh, this kind of went over well, and now they're going to try to make this a tradition, and now I got this song involved in the draft as well. Enough with the Sweet Caroline, with the Neil Diamond stuff. Can we calm down?
It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment for Red Sox fans. I think a lot of them feel that embarrassment alongside with me.
I thought the production was sterling. I just had a ball in watching the whole thing.
See, now you're getting it.
Where did the little heading that said a fully vaccinated room with some heroes? That was my favorite. That was my favorite part of the night, was seeing which draft rooms were fully vaccinated or not, because it said fully vaccinated draft room with the Falcons. What was that like? I think it was to promote getting.
Oh no, that is it, my right. Wife made the same comment. It was like, why is it saying? Because it wasn't just the Falcons; it was several teams. Why are they doing that? I was like, I guess we're trying to be socially responsible as a league. I guess that's what it was all about.
Or to explain
but
why they
kind
didn't
of
have the
funny.
Masks, I guess. Because like
yeah,
the Patriots,
well,
it didn't say fully vaccinated and they weren't wearing masks. So that, please. Again, that gets you thinking. This whole Patriots, Mac Jones, this podcast is making me in like rooting for the Patriots less. It's like, it's not helping.
Mission accomplished.
I just kind of want to give up on it.
I'm texting my wife about the burrito, by the way. Burrito.
I will give you very quickly my upside, or was it my sneaky draft pick?
Oh, we know who it is. It's Greg Newsom II.
No, it's not. No, it's Jamin Davis, all right?
Come on!
DJ compared him to Darius Leonard, who I think is like one of my favorite defensive players in the league right now. And then David Shaw, this should make you excited, Dan, because David Shaw basically said that like Zach Wilson was like one of the most fun players to watch on offense. Was he the best quarterback? I don't know, but he's most fun. And he said that Jamin Davis, he is fun, but he's saying that Jamin Davis was his defensive version of that. So he's on my radar.
Good.
Wilson's almost gotten overlooked on this pod just because we knew he was going there. But my God, he is going to light it up. I think early on there's going to be a lot of good and a lot of bad, but I think everyone kind of knows that going in. But it's going
to
be
cautiously
exciting.
Optimistic. I really
it's
am because
be
I was in the camp, and everybody listening to this podcast knows that I was kind of on the side of keep Darnold and give him a real structure and bring in some more help and see if he can get on track. But now after going through this whole draft process, if this guy's special. If he's special and he's fun and he gets you out of your chair and he passes like that Chris Wessling test where he's like, what's the first game I put on Game Pass? Like, I don't think that was ever going to happen with Wes and Sam Darnold and the Jets, even if Darnold panned out. But if Wilson can play. He could turn them into like a team that they want to put in primetime again and all that. And there's just a lot of hope. And everyone's hung up on how young he looks. And I get that, but that doesn't really matter. I mean, hopefully, I also like that he's a little bit, he seems to be a little bit of a and I kind of like that about him.
The photo he sent out of him, like, staring down at his phone while he's on the, you know, with the traffic behind them, that is a little bit of a red flag. But he's got some Sanchez to him. Maybe that's not so bad. When Rich Eisen put it out into the ether that, like, that Jets Patriots Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson will be a primetime game, I was like, oh yeah, that's it. Will it'll be a third? It'll be that'll be an NFL Network game.
Entering the league together.
I see some Baker DNA. Maybe not. I'm not saying from the playing side, but
I know what you're saying.
Headband wearing, like you know, a little bit of an edge, which now we suddenly like. You know, already doing commercials, which we're already buying the products that he's pitching. So, you know, it's suddenly when it's happening to you, like all these things are positive. So maybe we can at least have a truce and realize like these quarterbacks with a little bit of edge and sales.
What's wrong with the edge on Baker? I never had a problem with Baker's edge.
Get out of here.
Well, I just, you know, he's just got to play, and he played very well in year three.
Well, it is not just the play that we're discussing, like the concept that
the commercials.
He hasn't won five Super Bowls, so he shouldn't be doing an ad. But now you're literally waiting for your wife to bring you a burrito that your quarterback has pitched before he's thrown a pass. Which, by the way, I couldn't be happier about. But it's just, let's be real here. Like, they are the same situation. Young people capitalizing on their looks, youth, talent, and position in life.
It's more like the Baker commercial was relentless. That whole, and then on top of it was like, everybody was like, let me get my blog post and my tweet thread fired off about how amazing this ad campaign is. And it's like, okay.
I mean, I think we all thought that it was like totally misplaced in a terrible season. And it was, we were watching 8 televisions in our newsroom.
Well, it's
and
2 years now.
They were good to stick with him, though. They were good to stick with him. I mean, what commercials get more pop than this? I think we can call it official. I mean, we know he's a better commercial actor, but Baker Mayfield did win over Sam Darnold. You know, that's over.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, he won in terms of their picks. That's over. The pick was more successful. Like that part. No matter what happens,
I do stand by this. Not to be sidetracked here. I think Sam Darnold would have done just as well, if not better than Baker, if you put him in Cleveland. I really do believe that.
I disagree.
And I think if Baker is drafted by the Jets would have drafted a new quarterback this year as well.
I mean, but you can say that, we don't need to elongate the show by 25 more minutes. But
ultimately,
absurd.
You got to go with the results. You know, there was like the Mariota Winston. That was kind of a draw. This, you know, he got it. He got the decision. He got the win.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations. Give him a huge contract. Give him a Jared Goff extension. See how that goes.
Ooh,
they're not doing that. They're not doing that early like other teams have.
Let's not fight about this.
Okay.
No.
Greg, stop
especially at the end of 90 minutes. Congratulations to Andrew Berry, though. What a day. He had a kid this morning on draft day.
That's right.
That sounds like a movie.
You
but
did
for
that
the
too,
listeners
Mark.
Who think there's too much Jets Browns talk, just lop off the final 37 minutes of this show and you'll be fine.
And Bucks fans are like, when are you going to get to our Tryon pick?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Good pick by them, though.
He's the edge out of Washington. He goes 32nd overall to wrap up round one. Any final takeaways from the first round? Besides Drew Brees' new hair, which
that was a big one.
Noticeable.
You know,
I guess I would just wonder if there is anything else with the Broncos and the Packers and all this before, if we hear any more whispers or if it's just shut down and they've closed the curtain and everyone's left the stage.
I think I found a way to like jam in all the points I wanted to make, even when it didn't really make sense in the context of what we were talking about.
Good.
So I think it is, it's all covered and we do not need to cover Tim Tebow and his tryout with the Jaguars.
And we do need to cover Kim Dice, but that will come on Saturday. So don't worry. I did not forget. We have a Kim Dice update, which is outrageous. I can't believe Kim Dice is still in our life.
When the draft was just about to start, I happened to go to ESPN.com. Robert Kim Dice signing with the Seahawks was the fourth highest story in their news stack on their homepage, which is bizarre, totally bizarre.
It's because he fell out the window. He fell out the window. And that's why everyone was always fascinated by him. More than that he was a first-round bust, he was the guy that fell out the window.
And anyway, it's not just a sports story.
Stick a pin in that. All right. Good stuff. By the way, we as you saw, no doubt, on social media, if you're a fan of the show, Ricky had the great idea to go to Dodger Stadium. Me, Mark, Ricky, and Emma VP met up with Lakeisha and Link, and what a great time that was. That was for Link's first game. Unfortunately, the Reds didn't show up. 8-0, they got beat. But that was very nice, and it was good to do that.
Well, if you haven't checked it out too, I would also go look at the Reds. What is it? A onesie, I guess you could call it. Like the outfit that Link was wearing was one of the coolest kid baseball get-ups I've ever seen. What eyes! What a cute little boy he is. We had a great time with him.
Let's get it together, Reds. You know, stop being such a disappointment.
Well, they did take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. Okay, that was pretty good. I think a good seeing Link in the onesie too gave him the idea. It's too late for me. Not that I'd want to be the one wearing it, but if anybody's looking, now that there's going to be Halloween parties again for the 20-somethings, which is a big deal, well, at least when I was in New York City, and I assume it's a big thing for the youth, post-college youth, an adult onesie, and even wear the diaper, which actually, if you want to go all the way, because, you know, when you're drinking a lot, wearing a diaper might actually, if you really want to get the functional use of it, you could do that. But you have the onesie, and then you just dress like a baby in a onesie. That feels like an absurd costume that would have some legs.
Yeah, show, I think if you're a female, you'd also, if you want to be a real baby, like get a baby's haircut, or, which I mean, would make it, just make it real. Because it's like girls are just like, oh, I'll dress like something else and just be a girl at a Halloween party. But like, if you want to strike a realistic note,
right,
shave the head very clean, or have small baby hair on top of your head.
You definitely hit something that's already been in Mark's mind, and he's loving it.
No, it's, well, now
I like it as it's a subversion too, because, you know, a lot of things that happen at these Halloween parties, girls, or at least they did when I was in my 20s, would dress up sexy,
right?
Maybe instead of the schoolgirl outfit, now you're a baby. And like you're saying, I don't like that whole, like, I'm going to sexualize myself. I'm cranking the back clock all the way back to baby time, including the haircut.
Yep. You're saying, respect me, take me seriously.
I'll stick it to you for trying to turn me into... All right. We'll be back Saturday with a full recap of the draft. Everybody, please come back. Please. And heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.